Little story of the cup. I left my cup at home, but for some reason, the last time I preached, it got back to Russ. I had a Redskin cup because he gave me a totally different cup. So I left that at the house. So that's my cup this morning. Just a little note for this evening. It seems like every time I preach, we do a dual thing. I preach in the morning, I give you a movie at night. We have a movie at 5 o'clock tonight, free popcorn. So come out and join us for that this evening. I'll be honest with you this morning. I had prepared another lesson because this lesson here is one of the things that I struggle with many years of my life. And it's a thing that I think we struggle with in today's society in many ways. So I took it to Russ. I said, Russ, you need to look at that. Look at this sermon. Russ looked it over and he said, okay. He says, you're right. It's a difficult subject to talk about. But Russ told me one thing. He said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, what's that, Russ? Don't shy away from the truth. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're not going to shy away from the truth. So we're going to talk about this, the truth. The title of my lesson is The Righteousness That God Desires. Before I get started, I want to tell you a story about 200 and a farmer, Farmer Brown. Two hunters got together and they want to go hunting the next morning. One of the hunters said, let's go to Farmer Brown's land because he's got good hunting. I've been hunting there all my life. It's a good place to go. He said, sure. So they got up bright and early and went over to Farmer Brown's house to let him know that they were going to hunt on his land. And the first farmer got out of the truck, went to the door. Farmer Brown came to the door. Farmer Brown saw who it was. Come on in. He says, it's early in the morning. You want some breakfast? How about some coffee? He goes, no. I'm just letting you know that I'm here to hunt on your property. He said, well, you know you can hunt on my property anytime. You just go right ahead. He said, but I need one favor first. He said, sure, Hunter Brown. Farmer Brown, what do you need? He said, I got this old mule, old and aged. He's out there in the barn and he's suffering. I don't have the ability in the heart to put him out of his misery. Can you do that for me this morning? Hunter said, sure, Farmer Brown, I can do that. That will be no issues whatsoever. So he started to walk out of the house and he thought about his buddy out of the truck, the other hunter. He goes, this is a good time to get him. So he got all worked up like he was mad. He walked out to that truck. He swung open that door. He pulled out his gun, started loading his gun. The other hunter looked at him and goes, whoa, what's going on here? He said, it ain't right. He said, what are you talking about, it ain't right? I've been hunting on this land for years, and Farmer Brown said, I can't hunt on this land anymore. It ain't right. He said, calm down, it'll be okay. We go somewhere else tonight. I'm telling you, it ain't right. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to that barn right there, and I'm going to shoot his mule. So he goes to the barn, and he walks in there, and he shoots that poor mule, puts that mule out of his misery. As he's walking back out, he says, man, I can't wait to see his face. Before he got to the barn door, he heard, he ran out of that barn, and he sees the other hunter running across the field. He goes, what'd you do? He said, you're right, it ain't right. I shot two of his cows. But that's human nature. Human nature is that anger can be contagious and spread like a wildfire. It's a funny story, but the truth is anger can spread, especially with Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You get mad over something, you put it on Facebook, you got 20 other people who are mad over the same issue. And it spreads like wildfire. You know, the Bible says a lot about anger. And the Bible tells us in 1 Ephesians chapter 4, 26 through 31, it tells us this. If you are angered, do not sin. First thing it tells us when we get angry, because the Lord knows we're going to get upset here and there. But he says, don't let it lead us to sin. The second thing he tells us in this verse, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. When you are angry, don't hold on to it for very long. Because where I'm from, where the sun goes down every day. So that tells us we didn't need to be angry the very next day. But listen to this next part, because we're going to talk a lot about this through this sermon. Do not give the devil a foothold, because that's what he's doing. The devil's got a foothold in this country today. The devil's got a foothold in this world today. And it's all through anger. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Do not let any unworthy talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and it may be benefit for those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, malice, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's how we have to approach things in our lives. Because let me tell you what anger does. Anger sits inside of you. You know, back in the First World War, there's people still dying today from those bombs that are landing in France. They sit there, and over time, people find them. 360 people have been killed and 500 injured just in one town in France. Back in Fort Lee, where I work, we came up onto a cannonball from the Civil War. When we came up on my cannonball, they blew it up right there. At the time, I'd go, it's just a cannonball. What's wrong with it? The guy who blew it up says, it has gunpowder in there. He said, let me tell you what gunpowder does over time. It deteriorates to the point that all it takes is a little movement and it will blow up. He said, so we have to blow it up right here. He said, there's people still dying today from the Civil War. From the Civil War. Now, if anger sits down inside of you and you carry more than what we've told in God's Word, more than a day, it's going to deteriorate. It's going to get to that point where somebody's going to say something wrong and it's going to blow off. And let me tell you, anger not only destroys you, but it destroys family members. It puts father against son, mother against daughter, husband against wife, brothers and sisters in Christ against brothers and sisters in Christ. It destroys things. Let me tell you about my situation. For years, I was angry with my dad. A lot of y'all know this story. I had a lot of anger. And that foothold I was telling you about earlier, the devil gets a hold of, he tells me that I have all rights to be angry. He told me I have all right to be angry at my dad. But when I came here, as we talked about before, when I talked to a couple of, this church has saved me because it taught me how to get rid of that anger. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you, I don't think we have that issue with anger here. But when I talk about when things get contagious and spreads like wildfire, we have that potential to have that anger. But thank goodness that I was able to remove that anger, because I was able to be a part of my dad's life his last few years. And I had the privilege to be with him in his last few months and help him through that with my other brothers and sisters. If I would have held on to that anger, it would have destroyed my life and destroyed my family's lives, because I would have held on to anger. The devil tells us we have a right to hold on to it. Colossians 3, verse 8 tells us, But now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, foul language from your lips. We got to be able to remove these anchors out of our lives. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of wars that we are facing in America today. There are a lot of wars that we're facing in our family members. When we talk about things that are going on with the American flag, the issues with the Confederate flag, the issues with the riots, the issues with gay marriage, the issues with persecutions on Christians because we believe the way we do. The issues with family members. There's a lot of things the devil has told us we have a right to be angry about. But God tells us otherwise. God tells us we have a right to get mad at all these issues because he has a foothold in our lives when he does that. He has, right now, he has a foothold in America because he's dividing us in all so many different directions with this anger for us to get upset over, get mad over. He's trying to divide this country. If you look at this world as a whole, the devil's got a foothold in it, country against country, countrymen against countrymen, because he's got a foothold in this world. But what's the Bible tell us about it? First of all, in James 1, verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Man anger does not produce the kind of life that God wants from us. When we hold on to anger, it's not producing the righteousness that God wants out of us. So how do we do this? It's easy to say that we need to get rid of it. It's easy to say that, yes, it's not to be angry, not carry the anger, but how do we overcome this anger? First of all, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, it tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. I want to be called a child of God. So I need to be a peacemaker. I want that title over me that I'm a part of child of God. Because if we honestly look at it, with everything that we're dealing with, we're all created by God. Is that not correct?
Amen.
So we're all children of God. So how you feel towards somebody else, you think about what God's done. So we need to be that peacemaker. James chapter 3, 17 through 18 tells us, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate and submissive, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, sensitive, peacemakers who sow in peace, reaps a harvest of righteousness. That's the harvest I want, the harvest of righteousness. And I need to be a peacemaker. We're going to look at things differently as Christians. If we're not going to take on the same way the world takes on over these issues. With not only without the issues out there in the world, but within our own family, because we struggle. Like I was talking about earlier with my dad. That was the struggle that I had within my own family, the anger I had within my own family. And like I said, the devil told me I had all rights to. But how are we supposed to handle things in life? I used this verse in my last sermon, but it so goes with this morning's sermon. Because when we handle things this way, it creates so much peace. The devil tells you, don't be patient with these people. Don't be patient with the people who you are angry with. Because you have that right to be angry. The devil tells us not to be kind. God tells us, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not selfish. Here we go. Love is not easily angered. As Christians, we're not going to be easily angered. But look at the one below that. Love keeps no record of wrong. The devil tells us, you keep that record. You have all rights to remember what's been done to you. You have a right to be angry over these issues. You have a right to be angry at your husband or your wife or your children because they've done you wrong. God says, no, you don't. You don't have that right. And we'll see here in a minute why. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always preserves. Love never fails. That's what we need to realize this morning. When we're dealing with other people out there about these different issues in life, love never fails. tell you a story about my cousin Teresa. Me and Teresa growing up, as a child, were close, really close. I told her things that nobody else knew that was going on in my life. When Teresa grew up, she became Terry. She was gay. She became gay. But if I let these issues like gay marriage and stuff like that in there, and I get angry because I believe the way I believe, if she believes that way, I would have tore that relationship apart. But every time we got together, at family gatherings, we were at church, the Crossing Street one time, we were at funerals, we always got together and we talked for a while because we had that love and connection. Tragically, she was killed a little over a year ago. And there were two at the same time that my dad was sick. So if I would have had anger towards her, she would have had anger towards me, it would have tore us apart. But that's not how we treat those. Because we don't disagree with somebody, we don't agree with somebody, it doesn't mean we stop loving them.
Amen.
And that's what we need to realize. When we have conflict, because we don't agree with them and they don't have our beliefs and we don't have their beliefs, we never stop loving them. And that's what we need to realize. Because that when I don't care that Teresa became Terry, I still had that close relationship every time we came together. It meant the world to me. I hold on to it to this day because of that. And she had that relationship with me. I want us to take a good look at this verse right here. This 1 Timothy chapter 2, which was read there earlier, 3 through 8. But I want us to really look at this. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to know the truth. Who's left out of this verse?
No one.
No one. No one before we were on this earth, no one on this earth now, and no one who will be on this earth ever. So think about that for a minute. God wants everybody to be saved. You think about the worst people in this world today. And this verse is to them. You think about ISIS cutting the heads of Christians off. You think about the murderers out there. Out there. This verse is to them too. It don't leave anybody out of it. Who wants all men to be saved and come to know the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for who? All men. There's nobody left out of that. Christ died for all of us because he wants all of us saved. Why? Because we're all God's creation. He wants us all to be saved. The testimony given is in the proper time. And for the purpose I appoint the herald, our preacher, an apostle. And I tell you the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher that in faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up their holy hands and pray. Without what?
Amen.
Without anger or dispute. How we handle our anger is how we're going to love somebody else. And how we treat somebody else. We're going to pray for those who persecute us. We're going to pray for those who are angry. We're going to pray for those who we have anger towards, that we need to get rid of that out of our life. We have the blessed assurance. Here's a song we sing. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Think about that. How can you be angry if you realize that Jesus is yours? The blessed assurance you have that Jesus is yours. How can you be angry if you look at your life and see what Christ has done for you? First of all, he died on the cross for you. Then you look back at your sins and you realize he didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve the right to hang on that cross for my sin, but he did it anyway. You know what? As we think that the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, and realize what he does in our life, that he's overcome the world, that he's overcome death, that's what should spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm. It's our story about Jesus in our life. Mm-hmm. That should spread like wildfire, the song that we sing about Jesus in our lives. It should go over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, what God has done for us in our lives and what he can do for them in their lives. So when we have issues of the flag, of gay marriage, of lives matter, all these issues that come up, when you have an issue with your husband and your wife and your son or your daughter, or you have an issue between your brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to realize what God has done for us. Amen. That's what we need to look at. Because when we have that type of attitude, it's hard to stay angry long when you're looking, telling God what God has done for you, telling your story, when you're singing praises, and when you're praising him all day long. It's hard to keep angry when you have to look at your own life and see what Christ has done for you. It's hard to stay angry with anyone. You know, no matter what we go through, here in a moment, Jerry's going to come up here and take any prayers and petition the church and God for you. And Daniel, you go in the back with Wilma and take any prayers or any personal prayers. But I want y'all to think this, realize this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what struggles you're going through, you may be going through financial struggles, you may be going through problems at work, you may have problems at home with your marriage or your kids, you may have health problems going on. It doesn't matter. We have the blessed assurance that the battle's already won. That we have the glory and that day coming for us. The prize of heaven, which Russell's going to talk about in the weeks to come, the prize of heaven that we have. We have that insurance. We already know that because we've got it all figured out. If you're not a Christian, you don't have that blessed assurance. Because Mark 16:16 tells us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But I got good news for you. We got water ready back here. So we can get that blessed assurance right here and now. Anything that you are struggling with, we have that ability to realize that we have, that Jesus is mine. So if there's anything that we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.